sharanam Ganesha, Ganesha 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 sharanam Ganesha, Vagisha sharanam Vagisha, 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 Sarisha sharanam Sarisha, 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 Ganesha sharanam Ganesha, Ganesha sharanam Ganesha. Mahaganapate namostute, Mahaganapate namostute, Matanga mukha namostute, Matanga mukha namostute, Mahaganapate namostute, Mahaganapate namostute, Mushikavahana namostute, Mushikavahana namostute, Modakahasta namostute, Modakahasta namostute, Parvati Putra namostute, Parvati Putra namostute, Jaya Vijayi Bhava namostute, Jaya Vijayi Bhava namostute, Mahaganapate namostute, Mahaganapate namostute.
So as Anilji said, we will do the sixth valli or the third valli of the second chapter of Kathopanishad. And I think most of you have been attending the Kathopanishad classes. So I will keep the revision to a very minimum because we have 18 mantras in the sixth valli. And they are all important. everything in Upanishad is important. But particularly this valli, in my opinion, is very important. Because the subject matter of this valli is really on Atma Yoga, that is called Adhyatma Yoga. That is to say that it gives us the science as well as the technology to turn our consciousness, which is currently flowing outside in the external, ephemeral things and beings, and how to turn it around in the search of the self. That is really the subject matter. And very nicely in this Upanishad, through the words of Yogacharya, Yogacharya here is actually the Lord of Death, and Lord of Death is giving the Upadesha to Nachiketa. So this is pointed out in the sixth valli. So we'll get into that today itself, quite a bit actually. But just in case you have forgotten, you are all ardent seekers, so I don't doubt that you have forgotten anything. But in case you have forgotten, I will summarize. Now, I'm sure you have remembered that this is a dialogue between Nachiketa and Yamaraja. That everybody, I hope, will remember. Then, in certain circumstances, which I will not elaborate, Nachiketa ends up facing Yamaraja. And Yamaraja asks Nachiketa. So Yama, Raja, is actually, Raja means king. So he is the king of time or king of death. Death because everything in terms of our life is really measured and controlled in terms of time. So the number of breaths that we are going to take, or the number of heartbeats we are going to live in this world as such and such person, is controlled. And Yamaraja is also considered to be Dharmaraj, in the sense that he upholds the dharma. What is the dharma? He doesn't let anybody, he picks the right person at the right time. He doesn't make any mistake. And then he picks that person at exactly the appropriate time of death. And he doesn't give any allowances. So therefore he follows the dharma according to what is dictated by the Lord. That's why he is called Dharmaraja. Anyway, so he has given Nachiketa three boons. And so the first two boons Nachiketa asks, some favor, ask for some favors, not for himself, but for the peace of his father, for the community, etc. The whole Kathopanishad is actually important in terms of the third boon. The first two, so far the story is given only to indicate that only a student of the magnitude and nature of Nachiketa is fit for the knowledge about the Brahman. So what qualities are required, etc., is indicated in this story. So therefore, in that sense, yes, it is important, because if we don't have those qualities and we don't get anywhere because of that, then we should not blame the teacher nor the book. We have to blame ourselves and try and develop those qualities on ourselves. So it's a counter check. But the most important subject matter is Atma Vidya or Brahma Vidya, which is really the third question or the third boon that Nachiketa asks for. And after some cross-examination, in the first chapter, first adhyaya of this Kathopanishad, Yamaraja has already described the Atma Swarupa, the nature of Atma. So now we come to the second chapter. See, I told you, I'm going to make it very good. The first chapter is so easy, see. No, because first chapter I have summarized so many times.
Yeah.
So second chapter I have summarized only once, maybe. So maybe I'll spend a few minutes in the second chapter, but not necessarily the first chapter. And in fact, it is said, it is mentioned by many people who believe that Kathopanishad is actually over in the first chapter, and that the second chapter is only an extrapolation, perhaps not even by the same rishi. Now, all Vedantic teachers and Mahatmas don't agree on that. They said that is not true. The subject matter is so subtle that some of these ideas had to be repeated, in fact. And we know they are repeated not in the same words. And so this is the importance of Sravana. Because if we don't go to the class or we don't come here saying, no, I have already read Upanishad. I read other Upanishads also, so what new is there? And truly speaking, if you ask me, I'll have to say there is nothing new, right? But then, it is repeated listening, repeated hearing, repeated absorption, repeated of reflection, which alone can make a difference in my life. So this is not a knowledge that once gained I have it. This is the knowledge which has to be lived. This is the knowledge which should become my life, my book. The knowledge cannot remain in the book or superficially in my mind or intellect. My whole life must be woven around it so that I become the walking knowledge. Then some difference is possible. Therefore, the more we hear, the more we listen, the more we reflect, it will help us. So from that point of view, every lecture is new. Because we don't know what will hit me at what time. It sometimes, you know, it happens in my life. I'm reading a joke and all of a sudden I stop laughing and I say, this is not a joke. This is the highest philosophy. It happened. Many times that happens. So we don't know what will appeal to me at what time. And when that appeals, that is really the one that is going to be my knowledge. Because everything else is just buck buck. I will go on swaying and you will go on listening. It may not make much of an impact. No deep impact anyway. It is something that will hit you, will say, okay, this is now I've walked out with that knowledge today. So anyway, so therefore, Sravana is important, coming is important. So don't ever say that I have heard enough. In fact, all this idea about Sravana, Manana, Nididhyasana is not a step-by-step thing. To be honest, it is Sravana Matrena. Sravana alone can open all the doors for us. Because in listening, mananam is happening. And in mananam, nididhyasana is already involved. So therefore, sravana is the most important thing. You don't have to say, now my sravana is over. Now, okay, now I'm going to start mananam. No. Although it is said in stages, it is not one after the other. It is all parallel, all at the same time. And without new Sravana, new Manana is impossible. Without new Mananam, Nididhyasana will not happen. Okay, enough about that. So second chapter, of course, also has three Vallis. We have done the two Vallis. Vallis means sections. Chapter, Sanskrit chapter for Sanskrit is Adhyaya. So second Adhyaya, Prathama Valli, Dvitiya Valli we have done, Tritiya Valli we are going to start today. So before that, let me summarize what is the crux of the matter that was mentioned in the first and the second Valli. So in the second Valli, the first thing that Acharya here, the Yamaraja starts with is, the emphasis on Dhamma. So Samadhi Sata Sampatti we have heard. So Dhamma is Indriya control. You can say Indriya Nigraha, but Indriya Nigraha doesn't mean it is pushed down by force. For example, supposing you don't want to go to Balvihar, but your kid insists that I want to go to Balvihar, for kid's reasons maybe, where the other friends are going, so the kid. So then you go to Balvihar, then that is Nigra, because you didn't do it with your own ideas and notion, you did it because somebody else compelled you to do it. So that is artificial. That is actually you are pushing your own desires and molding them temporarily to satisfy someone else. That is not what is needed. What is needed is we should be able to control those desires without any sense of resentment. So there's no resentment that, oh, I couldn't do it, you know, because my, so, you know, I had to do it because somebody said so, or I had to do it because if I don't go, then Anilji will think, hey, he also didn't come, or she, you understand? That is, so Dhamma is not that. Dhamma is you wanted to come, so you came to satsanga or any other things like that. So that is indicated in the first two. And the most important thing there that is mentioned is that if we have viveka, if we have the capacity to discriminate between what is important and what is unimportant in life, then we'll make the right choice at all times. Then from the third mantra to the 13th mantra in the first valli, first section of second chapter, the nature of Atma is mentioned, described. Not that it wasn't described in the first chapter. In the first chapter, second valli, third valli, Atma Swarup alone is given. But here again, in a different way, different words, different technique, it is mentioned. So the most important thing that is pointed out initially in this section is that Atma is Chaitanya, Atma is conscious. I was teaching Balvihar in Orlando, Balvihar classes, youth classes. And there I was telling them that, you know, this Brahman doesn't do anything. Brahman is just a... In mere presence of Brahman alone, anything happens, so you cannot give doership to Brahman like that, I was saying. So at the end of the class, one student said, so is Brahman sentient or insentient? Because in the light of the sun, we all get up. So is light, is it, sun is not sentient, sun is insentient. So is it like that? So I had to change my story a little bit. To satisfy that kid, to tell him and prove that Brahman is sentient. So that is an important distinction. Atma, the self, is sentient. That is why we call it pure consciousness, or we call it conscious. Chaitanya Swarup Matrena Atma. Iti. Like that people will say. So it is of the nature of sentiency alone. Now then you'll say, what is that? So then, what is not sentient? So really speaking, according to our Vedanta, nothing other than Atma, nothing other than Brahman, nothing other than our own pure self has any sentience. So all this blabbering and all that I'm talking right now, it is all, it appears to be, so I appear to be sentient. Why? Because I'm touched by the presence of Brahman. Otherwise, I cannot say anything. If the touch of consciousness, the touch of life, the spark of life goes away from me, as Gurudev used to say, Pichiki! Remember that? Then you cannot. The last has breathed in, and nothing has been breathed out. So, chala gaya, thanda pad gaya. Isn't it? Now, so therefore, Chaitanya is the one because of which everything appears to be sentient, although it is not. Therefore, the first thing we have to learn from this description of Atma Swarupa, nature of the Brahman, is that therefore, Chaitanya, sentiency is something different from the multiplicity of this world. It is a distinct entity. Different from the multiplicity that we experience. Then the second thing is that that consciousness pervades my body. So it's not that it's only here in my heart or it's only in my mind or intellect. It pervades every cell of my body. So that consciousness is pervasive throughout my body. But it is not limited by my body. So it goes beyond my body as well. And so the third thing is that everything is in consciousness. And therefore all bodies are in consciousness, not that the consciousness is in all bodies. Space example is a good example. So therefore we may say that we are in this room space, and we may divide this room space with the outer space. But then when we tear down these walls, then there is no distinction between the room space and the outer space. All space has become one. Like that, consciousness is one. And then the fourth and the most important thing is that consciousness is not limited by space, nor is it limited by time. So since it is not limited by time, it is eternal. It is eternal all, it is eternal at all times. And because there is no special limitation, therefore it is pervading throughout everything. So therefore it was Brahman before the beginning of time. It will be Brahman at the end of the time. It is Brahman, it was Brahman before the creation happened. It is Brahman during this creation, and it will be Brahman at the end of this creation as well. Because the creation will come to an end, but not Brahman. And who is that Brahman? Because ultimately, that is the most important thing. Otherwise, we think, you know, Brahman kaha baitha hai, upar kahin, you know. So every time I hit a six, then I look up. Thank you, God. God is right here. So those are the important things. Okay. Then, it was mentioned, it was pointed out that although the consciousness is one, the Chaitanya is one, Brahman is one, Atman is one, it appears to be different depending on the reflecting medium. So I appear different than you, I act different than you, I look different than you. My sanskara is different. Everybody's sanskara is different. Everybody have the tendency to act in a certain way at a certain time. Some people get hot very fast, some people never get hot. That is also irritating sometimes. Everybody is different. Why? Not because the consciousness is different. It is because the reflecting medium is different. So what is the reflecting medium? The reflecting medium is this body, mind, intellect, along with the vasanas, is the reflecting medium. And so everybody appears to be different. Just as the sun is the same, but if there are 1,000 pots with different consistency and muddiness of water, each reflection will look different. And according to Sankhya philosophy, this muddiness is what? Sattva, Rajas, Tamas mixture in different proportions. Okay. Now, then it was pointed out that this consciousness can be regarded, this Atman, this Paramatman, can be looked at with its reflection in two ways, at the microcosmic level and the macrocosmic level. So at the macrocosmic level, if you say that if this world is created, there has to be a creator, if we say. And that if is very important, because when we come to Mandukya Upanishad, it is pure Ajatavada, nothing is created, will be told. And so at that time we will say, what do you mean nothing is created, but I am seeing it. So then the Mahatma will say, that is your problem, it's not my problem. So if you say there is a creator, then that creator is the cause of this universe. So the Karana Sarira, causal body, at the macrocosmic level is called Ishvara. At the microcosmic level, it is called prajna. Then this universe, this world, has two aspects. One is the gross aspect called the body, and the subtle aspect called the mind and intellect. So at the macrocosmic level again, if you only look at the subtle, at the macrocosmic level, the mind and intellect, the subtle body, then it is called Hiranyagarbha. At the individual level, the microcosmic level, it is called Tejas. Then we come to the gross body. So at the gross body level, gross body is the one that is visible, which has shape and form. Subtle body does not have shape and form. It is formless, shapeless. It has qualities, but no shape and form. So at the gross body level, again at the macrocosmic level, if you put all the gross bodies together, that is called Virat. And at the individual level, it is called Vishwa. So therefore, we each one of us have our own Vishwa. And each person's Vishwa behave differently to outer stimuli. Some people are allergic, some people are not allergic at all. Some people have weak lungs, some people have weak kidneys. Everybody is different. So the Vishwa, so we go around with our own Vishwa. And we try to project our Vishwa on everybody else through the help of Tejas. Okay. Then the final winning run that was indicated by Yamaraj was that although we said that consciousness is one and the reflecting medium are different, really speaking, matter is no different from consciousness. So it all depends upon at what level we have gone up in our own spiritual understanding and analysis. What is the meaning? But you just 2 minutes ago you said reflecting medium is different, therefore everybody is different. Now you are saying that consciousness is the same. Yes. Talk scientifically. So even modern science is saying now that all of us, things and beings, are nothing other than some combination of quantum numbers put together, which is a disturbance in the basal state of energy. So it's just a flickering, it's just a wave. There's just a disturbance in consciousness. And it appears as if it has a shape and a name and a form. Because it's a shape and a form, we give it a name. But really speaking, it is no different from its equilibrium state of existence. It's just a spike in energy. Still energy. So that's concept the rishis must have had at that time. So they said that consciousness, although... So when the student has this question that, oh, no, you keep go on saying that consciousness is one, consciousness is one, but how am I seeing? So that time the master will say, oh, yeah, I have an expression for that. That's because, pots are... Where did the pots come from? Where did the reflecting medium come from? It is not the creator is the consciousness and then some other person created all the matter, right? And we know that Brahman is the material cause as well as the efficient cause. So therefore there is no other material available. So everything has come out of Brahman only. Therefore it cannot be that the reflecting medium are different. The reflecting media appear to be different, But inherently they are part of the same consciousness alone. So therefore the chair is also consciousness. Tree is also consciousness, birds are also consciousness, we are all consciousness. Figuratively speaking though, we can say that there is a lower level and there is a higher level. So what is the lower level? So the Asti principle itself is the lowest level. So it exists, that's all we can say. The thing that exists has no idea that it exists. The thing doesn't know, we know that it exists. So that is the lowest form of life, we can say. Then the higher than that is sentiency, bhati. Asti, bhati, priya. So therefore that bhati is consciousness, sentiency, consciousness, awareness, ability to know that yes, I am here, that I am alive, that I am talking, etc., etc. That is a higher. There also you can say that things are different between plant world and animal world, and then the human world. Humans, we can say, are the most evolved. Not they are the most evolved because they don't make any mistakes. They are most evolved because they are capable of making mistakes. That's the problem. So it's actually it is actually a blessing as well as it is a problem. Blessing because we can carve out our own path. The problem is because we most of the time we carve out a wrong path. So the evolution from human to God is only possible for humans if we want to accelerate it. Evolution from animal or plant or a rock to God cannot be accelerated. It takes its own time. But the humans have the possibility of accelerating that. So we don't have to go through these cycles and cycles of life and death, life and death, life and death. We can end it right here. And the question may come as to why should we end it here? If that is the question, then you are at the wrong place. Because we are all here to end it. If you say, why should I end it, then don't do it. Maja maja aata hai, to karo maja. So some people have this sense that, you know, only people who can't really have any fun anymore. Jindagi mein kuch ras bacha nahi. So they turn to become brahmacharis and swamis, you know. Useless fellows. They don't know how to have fun. Kya kar sakte, you know? Nothing can be done. Theek hai, Chinmay Mission mein bharti ho jao. But that's a concept. I'm joking, but it is true also. All right. So then, okay, so that those are the most important concepts in this valli. Then in the second valli of the second chapter, which is completely devoted to Atma Swarup, nature of the Atman alone, two ways Atma is pointed out. From the point of view of Jivatma, individual Jiva, individual self, me or I, and from the point of view of Paramatma, Supreme Atma. Param means supreme. So from the total. And there are, I think, about 8 or 7 verses, the mantras on both. Until finally, again, that castle is broken. How? It is pointed out that, really speaking, there is no difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. Atma alone exists. So therefore, we cannot say that there is total space and there is room space. When we are saying there is room space, it is already total space. And don't say part of total space. It appears to be part of total space, okay, but it is never part of total space. It is total space. So space or space, space alone exists.
Space space.
Atma alone exists, consciousness alone exists. It's not my consciousness and your consciousness. By the way, they are both the same. So hat milao, namaste. Hey, what are you talking about? It's only one consciousness. There's no question of my consciousness and your consciousness. Atma alone exists. That is the Advaita philosophy in any case. No Dvaitism. So Advaita, one alone exists. Okay. Then it was pointed out that this sentiency of the body, and these are all the points, by the way, that will come in third valley also. Sentiency of the body is achieved through prana, the vital air. Because we breathe in and out all the time. Even in deep sleep, we are breathing in and out. So this prana, this vital air, is actually keeping us alive. Of course, heart is also beating and all that. But this is keeping us alive during the night because I am not aware. And still it happens. Then it was pointed out that, but don't put too much emphasis and importance to prana. Why? Because prana itself gets its capacity from Chaitanya, from Atma. So therefore, prana is only a vehicle from which we borrow our sentiency. The real sentiency belongs to Atma alone. My real self alone has a sentiency. And through prana we borrow it. That is why in Panchakosha also, you can define that the Annamaya Kosha is the gross body. Easy. Then you can define Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha as mind and intellect. But beech mein wo pranamaya kosha, whether how will you define? Will you put it in the gross body or will you put it with the subtle body? It connects. It's neither. Pranamaya kosha actually connects the subtle body with the gross body. And then the causal body, of course. Anandamaya kosha. It's the causal body. Then the final point is that if there is a cause and effect, the effect is impermanent, whereas the cause is permanent. So therefore, karya is impermanent, karan is permanent. And therefore, Brahman is permanent. Atman is permanent, but everything else is impermanent. So the whole world, BMI, PFTOET is impermanent, including the vasanas also. The only thing that's permanent is that Om, which is my real nature, and therefore I have to transcend this to get to my nature. So now in the third valley, how to transcend that is given. So jnana yoga. Jnana means science. Yoga means technology. So science and technology both are described. This is true. So in third valley we will see that in the first three or four mantra, Atma Swarup again is emphasized. And very differently. Very beautifully actually. Then for most of the other mantras, I think up to about 14th mantra or so, from 4 to 14 or 5 to 14, something like that, Various upasanas are given. Various spiritual practices are given. And there are four or five, I'll point out as we go through. Four or five spiritual practices are given. And then finally in the last four mantras, there is Phalasruti. Phalasruti means what will be the advantage if you follow this path. This is only written for those utilitarians among us, mostly all of us, who are saying, why should I spend time studying this Kathopanishad? It seems to be more voluminous than other Upanishads. So therefore for them, what is the Phalasruti is given from 15 to 18, indicating what will happen if you follow the path pointed out here. Okay, so that is the summary. Now, let us chant the first mantra of the sixth valli. Urdhva mulo vak shakha.
Urdhva mulo vak shakha.
Esho swartha sanatanah.
Esho swartha sanatanah.
Tadeva sukram tad brahma.
Tadeva sukram tad brahma.
Tadeva amruta mucyate.
Tadeva amruta mucyate.
Now the meter changes. Tasmin loka srita sarve.
Tasmin loka srita sarve.
Tadunatyeti kaschana.
Tadunatyeti kaschana.
Etad vaitat.
Etad vaitat.
Urdhva mulo vaka saka. This is very, very familiar because I think we have gone through the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm sure everyone here. So actually, Gurudev said that Veda Vyas has borrowed it completely from here and he doesn't even have the decency to say that this is not my original work. But then he said, kya kar sakte? Wo mere baap ka hai. It belongs to my father, so I don't have to say that I borrowed. Anyway, so Urdhva Mula. Mula means root. Urdhva means above. So above is the root. Vak shaka. Branches. Vak means below. Shaka means branches. So obviously this is talking about a tree where the root is above and the branches are going down. So looks like the tree has done Sirsasana. So why above? So we always say that above means higher, higher official, high command, etc., etc. When we say, we never say, you know, low command or say. High means it is higher. So that everything that comes from the top and flows to the bottom. So that which is the subtlest, that which is the most powerful, that which is the cause has to be at the top. So in our history books also, there is always, you know, Babur came first, the Mughal emperor, and then he had so many sons, and then Humayun, and then Akbar, and all that. And they kill each other, and brother, so that they become Sansha, all that. But so that, you know, starts with Babur, like that. So here also, this is tree of life. We say family tree also, right? What is my family tree? So I can probably go back 2-3 generations, that's about it. I don't know how many generations you can go. Some people are, you know, they can go higher than that. I don't remember. I never asked. I didn't think it was important. I never asked. Just family tree. So here this is tree of life. So this shakha is actually the multiplicity of this world is the branches, are the branches. And its root, its cause is in the root up there. So this is Om is the root. And all this multiplicity of individuality, this is only one individual, but you can also say total body, total mind, total intellect. So the multiplicity of all individualities are the branches. Esa aswattha. This tree is known as aswattha tree. Now this word aswattha is very important. Aswa also means horse. Thaha means stationary. Yeah, stationed there. Or established there. So therefore it is possible that this huge tree is actually the vada tree. Vada, not vata. Vada vruksha tree is usually huge, right? With so many branches, and then there are also some branches come and take tentacles into the ground and all that. So it was such a huge tree, and of course then in those days, you know, the horsemen and people who were traveling and all that, every now and then, when they find a tree like that, they must be taking rest underneath in the heat. So therefore, aswattha tree, maybe that is one of the way the name came about. But philosophically, aswattha is also important. So shva means tomorrow. And tha means it is there. So tomorrow it is there. Or in the future it is there. But when you add a to it, that means it may not be there tomorrow. So it is impermanent. So therefore this tree is impermanent. The root cause is permanent. It will come actually. Tree is impermanent. The root cause is permanent. In fact, that is the only permanent thing. Therefore it says sanatana. It is eternal. So please don't misunderstand and say this is sanatana. That is sanatana. Tat eva sukram. That alone is pure. You know, idam. This is not pure. That is pure. Tat. Tat tomasi. Right. Tat. It is that. So that is pointed out. So that is pure. Pure meaning any entity that is engaged in any type of activity cannot remain without any having any impurity. Any activity which is done with the purest of thoughts may turn out to be a wrong activity. And therefore some impurities will be there. Some papa will be created. And therefore that because of that papa we'll have to pay the price. So mostly people who believe in the purva part of the first part of the Vedas, purva mimansu, or they are only called mimansu sometimes. Purva mimansa, uttar mimansa. Purva mimansa is all on karma, 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 karma kand. The Uttar Mimamsa is all Jnana. So Uttar Mimamsa is Vedanta, Upanishad, same thing. So they emphasize the knowledge part. Now if you look at the sheer volume of the Karma Kand is about 80% compared to 20% or less of the Uttar Kand. Therefore people used to argue, and some still do, that the importance is really, that they believe in Vedas, but they say the importance is only on the former part, not the later part. Jnana is inconsequential. It is just said, it is just mentioned there. And how can Jnana happen without doing anything? That is their argument. So therefore, if Jnana is mentioned without telling us what you should do to do it, then it is useless. So anyway, this is all, six philosophies are there. So don't get confused now. This is not necessary or important. So one of the philosophy is that you have taken this birth. And in this life, if you exhaust all the papa, then you will attain moksha. Because the papa is, so you have come to this, so there is some sanchit karma is there. And those sanchit karma has also papa and punya. So punya, don't worry about it. When you balance out this papa and punya, the merit and demerit, so how do you do that? Very easy. Don't do any activity in this life. Then, no, do only that which is pointed out in the scriptures. So, subah utke puja paath ityadi karo. Nothing else you should do. So, therefore, you are not creating any more papa, and you are exhausting all the papa, and therefore a day will come when all your papas are exhausted. Ticket to. I'm not making this up, and this is true. Ticket to moksha. Now the problem is, how can you remain without doing any papa? Impossible. Because knowingly or unknowingly it will happen. And there are two types of papas also. One is doing something wrong, and one is not doing what you're supposed to do. So both will create papa. Musibat, musibat. So first of all my life I will study exactly how to do, what to do, when to do, what mindset I must have, everything I'll study. Then I will try to be so careful that I don't create a papa, and mar gaya re. So Gnana Kanda is very easy. They say forget all that nonsense. There is no papa, there is no punya, first of all. Huh? This is all humbug. This is all an illusion. Just come out of the illusion and get into moksha. Simple. It is actually simple. Okay, anyway. So therefore that sukram means that because in the mere presence alone of Brahman, everything is happening. Brahman is not directly participating in any activity. It is not creating, it is not an agent, it is not a causal agent of anything to happen. That is why I describe all this. So therefore, that Brahman is sukram, pure. Tat Brahma, that is the Brahman. Tat eva amrutam uchyate. That is also actually known by the name of Amrutam because it doesn't die. Amrut means death. Amrut means no death. So therefore Amrutam Uchyate, it is deathless entity which is forever present at all times. Tasmin Loka Asrita Sarve. This Loka, this is Mrityu Loka. And there are other lokas also. Gandharva Loka, Brahma Loka, this Loka, that Loka. Or if you consider those 14 lokas, then there is Bhutal, Patal, Rasatal, all that is there. So all these lokas, different worlds, you can say, are what? Asrita Sarve. They are all blessed, or they are all powered by Brahman. Presence of Brahman. So they are all supported by Brahman. It is Brahman alone because of which all these different experiences are possible. One translation for loka can be experiences also, which will be easier for us to understand. So the different experiences are only possible because of the Brahman being there. If my connection to Brahman is lost, no experience is possible. Tadu na natyeti kaschan. Nothing other than that occurs. Nothing other than that is possible. Nothing other than that exists. Etat vaitat. That you are. That's the important thing. When I was explaining that, everybody was thinking, oh, that Brahman, but that, where is that Brahman? That you are. Ihetad vaita. We feel so limited, and then we cry for everything, and we miss everything. And all of us. Hopefully, when we come to that stage, we will laugh and say, what a stupid. How stupid I have been all my life. Bhagwan, thank you. Gurudev, thank you for starting me on this life. At least. Now, one thing I have to say, otherwise, this discussion will be incomplete. Number one is, here Shankaracharya has given elaborate commentary. It almost seems that he lost himself. So this samsara and this tree, the aswattha tree, so many parallels he has found. Some of them I wrote down, so I will tell you. And I got tired writing it, so I've stopped. Really, if you are interested, go and read the commentary on the Shankar Bhashya. So many things. So the first thing he points out is that the vastness of the tree is comparable to vastness of this universe. Universe has, it doesn't look like there is any end to this. New and new galaxies are being found as more and more powerful spectroscopic instruments we are inventing. Then he says that this samsara is beginningless and endless. This is important. So he says this samsara is beginningless and endless. So please understand that if there was a beginning, there will be an end. But then you will say, no, wait a minute. So is he trying to say that this is eternal? He is only saying that is eternal. Then what do you mean beginningless and endless? This beginning, why not? A tree has not come from the root. Root alone is there. There appears to be tree, but it's only an illusion. So no transformation has taken place. Root is root, eternal. No branches are there. We think that these are all branches, but they are no branches. That's one understanding. Another understanding is that that which is eternal cannot give rise to something which will end. Eternal can only give birth to eternal. And all these entities and multiplicities are eventually what? They're self alone. And so therefore all of us are eternal. The real me is eternal. We're not talking about the body anymore. The real you is eternal. The real all of us are eternal. And for eternal, what is the definition of eternal? Eternal is that which is timeless, beyond time. And beginning and end is in time. The moment we say it is beginning and end, then what is it? Respect to time only, what are you talking? So therefore, if we are eternal, we are beyond time. We are beyond time, then there is no beginning, there is no end. Then he points out that this tree is inexplicable. It's very interesting, actually. He says, what is the cause and what is the effect? Is the root the cause and this is the effect? Or is this is the cause and the root is the effect? So this is a chicken and egg question. Did the chicken come first or the egg come first? You can go on arguing, but no solution can be reached. So therefore it is a circle. really no beginning, no end. And so the cause-effect theory cannot be applied. And both ways you can argue. The presence of consciousness can only be perceived if the world is there, if the reflecting medium is there. So therefore it is a reflecting medium that gave rise to the consciousness. Kya baat hai? Oh, you can say this is the cause for that. But then immediately said, no, it cannot be, therefore that has to be the cause, because it was there before, therefore it has to be the cause. Well, you can again argue, go on arguing about this cause effect and see what came. And then similar argument can be made about what is fate and what is free will. So it is the free will that creates the fate. Then if you say fate is that powerful, then how can I have free will? Everything is decided, then I have no free will then. But they say, no, it's free will. So because of free will, you create your fate. Then you say, but that free will that I apply today is also my fate. You can argue that. You understand. So again, there is no answer to that. So inexplicable, this whole sansara is inexplicable. Then the fourth point Acharya makes, Shankaracharya, is that when you talk about the root is invisible in a tree. So this is the indicator that although it is because of the root that the tree is there, without the root, no tree can survive. Yet you cannot see the root. Similarly, it is because of the Brahman that gives presence to the entire universe. But we don't see Brahman just as we don't see the root of a tree. And many other things are there. Okay, this one is good. So, the trees have lots of fruits. Some are bitter and some are sweet. Similarly, in this sansara also, a lot of fruits we will have. Some are enjoyable and some are going to be bitter. Okay, then when the wind comes, the tree moves, sways. Similarly, when the circumstances change, our moods will change, our mind will change. Happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy will continue. And the most important thing actually is that this tree can be uprooted. That is why it is Aswattha tree. It may not be there tomorrow. Aswattha tree, any tree can be uprooted, but the name is very appropriate. So, how can it be uprooted? Are? It has to be uprooted in order for us to merge with the Brahman. How can we already have body, mind, intellect, everything with the vasanas, and they say, no, but I want to be Brahman at the same time. Impossible. A waker and dreamer cannot be the same. The dreamer wakes up to being a waker. The dreamer becomes the waker. It is not like dreamer also a half waker and half dreamer. So how do you uproot it? With viveka. With the discriminative capacity. If you have the discriminative capacity to understand what is really real and what is really not real, but appears to be real, then through that discriminative capacity we can uproot the tree of sansara. So sansara chala gaya. Maini chala gaya. I am still here. Sansara chala gaya. When sansara chala gaya means then I am now one with Brahman. I am one with the Atman. I become one with my own self. Okay. second mantra. Yadidam kincha jagat sarvam.
Yadidam kincha jagat sarvam.
Prana ejati nisrutam.
Prana ejati nisrutam.
Mahat bhayam vajramudyatam.
Mahat bhayam vajramudyatam.
Yaetad vidur mrutaste bhavanti. Oh, this is gadya, you know, it is not really padya. Some are metrical, some are not. So, yadidam jagat sarvam. Whatever in this universe is there, nisrutam prana ejati. Whatever is there in this universe, in this world, all of that is nisrutam, has evolved from the prana. Remember, we discussed prana just a minute ago. So here Gurudev in his lectures had described what is jagat very nicely. He said jagat is jugu jugu iti jagat. Jugu, 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 jugu. Continuously changing. So the Einsteinian flux of change is jagat. And he said it is very appropriate that it is called jagat. And he said it is like this. A cat is known as meow, 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 because it always makes this sound, meow, meow. But a dog is always barking, bark, bark. And a lion always roars. So all these words are actually created. It's very nice. So all these words are created to indicate. That's why jagat is also indicated by just jugu, 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 jugu. Keep on changing. Nothing is permanent, everything will change. And our biggest problem is that we take everything to be permanent. So when something changes, suddenly we become unhappy. Prana ejati nisrutam. Now the teacher here says, Mahat bhayam vajram udyatam. There is a great fear from this Brahman. And it appears as if Brahman is actually standing there with uplifted thunderbolt. पकड़ के खड़ा है. यह एतद् विदुः अमृतास्ते भवन्ति. One who understands this will definitely become deathless. Will not have to go through this cycle of life and death. So now there is a problem. Mahat bhayam. Why should I be afraid of that Brahman? So there are two things that we can talk about. Gurudev has talked about one in his commentary as well as in his lectures. But the other is also inferred. And that is that, in fact, he also mentioned. So when there is a law, the law may not be obeyed if the law is not implemented by the executive branch of the government. So if there is a law that you cannot have two people ride a bicycle, but if the policeman doesn't care, or you can give him charana or whatever. Right. And nowadays it must be more. In my time it was charana. 100 rupees. 100 rupees. And the fact is that we used to go. Everybody did, and not all of us had bike. A bike, I'm talking about the bike, I'm not talking about motorcycle or scooter. That came later. This is bicycle, mechanical. So I will go with a friend, or some friend will come with me, and then अंधेरे में खड़ा रहता है पुलिस मैन, यू नो ही इज स्टैंडिंग इन इन एनी वे स्ट्रीट लाइट्स आर इंडिया दैट टाइम एनी वे वॉज नॉट दैट मच गुड सो यू डोंट सी द पुलिस मैन अंटिल इज टू लेट एंड डंडा लेके आएगा बाहर कम विद अ डंडा रोको सो बिकॉज वी वर सो एक्सपर्ट्स इन डीलिंग विद इट इमीडिएटली वील रिमूव अ वन रुपी नोट look at his expression and if it is not that satisfying then we'll do another 1 rupee note 2 rupee de diya and then right in front of him we will go again as two riders and this was the height of insult think about it but they didn't care first of all he should not have taken the money right an honest policeman will not take रिश्वत बट इज इज नॉट एन इंसल्ट सपोज ओके चलो दे दिया ले लिया देन राइट इन फ्रंट ऑफ हिम वी विल स्टार्ट राइडिंग अगेन नाउ ही कैन नॉट से एनीथिंग बिकॉज वी पेड हिम थिंक अबाउट इट एज अ बिगेस्ट इंसल्ट टू द लॉ एंड अ पर्सन हु सीम्स हु शुड बी एक्चुअली वॉट इज इट एनफोर्सिंग द लॉ यस So therefore, if there is no enforcement, there is no fear. If there is no fear, then everybody will do whatever they want to do. So in this whole universe, so there are universal laws, there are scientific laws and rules and regulations. So if you think about this, universe is going exactly according to the law. We know that we are not worried that tomorrow sun may not come. No, it will come. The sun doesn't say, no, tomorrow is, today was Ganesh Chaturthi, now I want, you know, one day off. All the planets are also going in their trajectory. Otherwise, they'll collide with each other. Everything is perfect. Water seeks the lowest level. Gravitational force work exactly the way it is supposed to work. Think about it. Everything is according to law and order. Supposing you break that law and order, then the universe will not remain a universe. So therefore, mahat bhayam. So that is one. Second meaning and perhaps more appropriate is that bhaya doesn't necessarily mean that out of fear. It could be out of reverence. It could be out of respect. I remember when I was in high school and I used to go to Baroda. I don't know anybody from Baroda here. Rosary High School. The Rosary High School was a little bit ahead of other schools, you know. So they had report card and everything. We had to get the book very first day. And then at the end, back of the book, there would be like a whole semester. I think it was semester or year, I forgot now. But test 1, test 2, test 3, all the subjects will be printed. How much did you score in the first test, second test, third test? And then you have to get your father's signature. Now my father never looked at it. I still remember, I'll go and say, signature. I want signature. He'll say, okay, where? I say, here. Never. But you know, I was so fearful that if I don't score properly, he may not like it. That fear, that out of reverence, that he has so much trust in me that I will do well. That I'm going to school, I'm going to study, you know. So much trust. How can I break that trust? That was the fear, you know. It wasn't like he's going to scold me or anything. He's never scolded me all my life, I can tell you that. But that fear that I cannot disappoint him, that comes out of reverence, comes out of respect. So therefore, that fear, out of reverence. So when we have reverence for him, then we will not do anything wrong, whether somebody is watching or not watching. Because he is watching. And it is not only physical action, we will not harbor any negative thoughts also. Because it may take a moment for me to be aware of my thoughts. But those thoughts are in His light only. So He is aware of those thoughts before I am aware. I won't do anything wrong. Think about it. So Mahat Bhayam. He's standing there like a vajra. So that we don't do anything. Okay. Bhayad asya agni stapati.
Bhayad asya agni stapati.
Bhayad tapati suryaha.
Bhayad tapati suryaha.
Bhayad indrascha vayuscha.
Bhayad indrascha vayuscha.
Mrityurdhavati panchamaha.
Mrityurdhavati panchamaha.
So bhayad agni stapati. It is because of that fear that agni is agni, that fire is fire. Fire is always hot. Fire means hot. Fire cannot be cold. You can't say that I have today, you know, the fire is very cold. I have to wait till tomorrow. How can fire be cold? It is because it is hot, it is called fire. Bhayat tapati surya. Sun means effulgence, light. Only when the moon comes in the way, you know, once in a while, light is prevented from coming to us. But otherwise, surya means light, the principle of light. Bhayat indrascha vayuscha. Indra, the god of rain, or the god of all our senses. Bhayat, he performs whatever needs to be performed. Vayuscha, Vayu Devata also. It is because of Vayu being there, air being there, that we can sustain our own life. If air is sucked out, we can't live. And Mrityur Dhavati, Yamaraja says, me, Mrityu, I am also fearful of that. And Dhavati, so I am running around here and there. Why? Because today some person died in Finland. At the very moment I have to go to India. He is running around here and there. Because he has to be there. First yellow card is given, then orange card, then the pull from the... he has to be pulled from the play, you know. No longer you can play. Come on. So here the referee has to be there. So Dhavati, Mrityur Dhavati, is running around here and there. Why? Because of the fear. I have to be there at the proper time to pull the plug. And Panchamaha. What is Panchamaha? Panchamaha, because it is the fifth. See, Agni is first, Surya is second, Indra is third, Vayu is fourth, and Mrityu is fifth. So Panchamaha. So just to keep it in metrical form, he has used the word panchama, the fifth. Okay, one more we'll do today. Iha chedas kadabodhum.
Iha chedas kadabodhum.
Praka sarirasya vistrasaha. Tata sargesu lokesu. Sariratvaya kalpate.
Sariratvaya kalpate.
Okay. Now. This notion that this Brahman, this Atman is the supreme reality. And that supreme reality is no different than the self, not this body, mind, intellect, but the self, the essential me, the real me, is no different. But supposing I don't get that knowledge before I die, then what? That is the question. So Yamaraja said, not much, except that यू विल हैव टू टेक अ नेक्स्ट बर्थ. तो ठीक है ना, नेक्स्ट बर्थ में कर लेंगे. हिंदूज हैव इट वेरी कन्वीनियंट. इन क्रिश्चियनिटी ओनली वन बर्थ, सो इज प्रॉब्लम. Eternal hell or heaven, if you don't do it this time, man, you are done, you know. So everybody is a little bit on their toes. Hindus, adjust kar lenge. Maybe that word came from there, you know.
Adjust.
So you know that I had such a big problem because I had gone from here back to India many, many years ago. And I had my reservation, you know, in that AC car. Somebody came and I said, no, this is my seat. What do you mean? The other people said, yes, I adjust kar lo. adjust kar lo. What do you mean adjust kar lo? This I have paid for. 'Cause everybody adjusts, you know, in India. So here, yeah, just कर लेंगे, next time कर लेंगे जरा पहले से, because Krishna Bhagwan has said, you know, in Bhagavad Gita that whatever you have achieved, so you will not lose it. You start from there. So definitely I'll start higher next time. No problem. So fifth mantra that we probably don't have time to do today, we'll see tomorrow. The fifth mantra will say, not that fast. Because you don't know which loka you will be born into next. So depending on the loka, you may not have the conducive environment to experience the Brahman. I mean, the teacher says, I am not saying that you may not be able to do it. You will do it, but the experience will not be the same. It is only in the human life alone that you will be experience that oneness and the bliss that comes with it in this human form alone, in this Mrityu Loka alone. Anywhere else, garbada. In fact, he points out exactly what will happen in the fifth mantra. It's very interesting. So therefore, this notion that now and here, this life alone, is there in Hindu philosophy also. But in order to not, supposing of somebody is dying at the deathbed and say, "Arey, ye to arey, kya hi nahi," you know, this whole life nikal gaya, I didn't do anything. For their benefit, they say, "Don't worry, you'll start from where you left off. You'll die peacefully now. Now it is too late now, so." Die peacefully. And this is true. And the thing is, supposing I was completely ignorant and I did not know that there is something called Brahman and that Brahman is the same reality as my own self and this body, mind, intellect actually are not real. Not real means they have no real essence, they have no real truth. They are there, but it is jada, it is not sentient. It only appears to be sentient because of the touch of the Brahman. Supposing I didn't know all that, then maybe it's okay. Like Gurudev says, you know, if there is a foreigner in India and he starts driving on the right side, he knows that the rules in India, you have to drive on the left. But he is used to driving on the right side, then accident ho gaya. And the policeman comes and says, "Oh, you have international license." He says, "In my country, sir, we drive on the right side. I'm sorry, Then some sympathy can be there. Now he broke the law, but the policeman will also be sympathetic. The judge may also be sympathetic. Bechara, you know, he made an honest mistake. But supposing an Indian is driving on the right side, he has never gone to any foreign country ever in his life. There is no possibility of any sympathy, correct? No sympathy can be given. So now that we know the real essence the real truth. See, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have come. Now, Brahman also will not sympathize. He said, ये तो वो तो विमल भाई ने बोला था. You cannot say that you don't know. That Vimal bhai will say, I just come. He will say, Vimal bhai is also with you only. Vimal bhai may also be with you only. You know. How are you going to adjust? You understand? So now we have added responsibility. We cannot seek for forgiveness. So therefore it is now or never. And like I said, it is actually easy. Honestly, it is very easy. No additional experience is necessary. This is the best thing. Because people spend their life having this experience of the blue light. I don't know where that blue light is coming from, but anyway. No, you don't know. It is in between the two eyebrows, you know. I have seen it two or three times. Unfortunately, it doesn't come every day. Okay, go on doing that. What is to be known? Tell me. What is to be known is that through and through all my experiences, I am that. So every experience is his experience. No experience is possible without his experience. What experience do you want? No, the problem is I forget every now and then. That is the problem, yes. So therefore the sadhanas, upasanas, it will come in this valli itself. 4 or 5 upasanas will be given by the teacher. And it's not only this teacher, all teachers give upasana. Because they know our weaknesses. So they give the upasana. But supposing we say, no, the upasana is so good, I keep on doing upasana. You know. What is your upasana? Every Monday I fast. Tuesday only I eat once. Wednesday is okay, I eat. But Thursday is a Guruvar, so I don't eat at all. Friday to Mataji ka diye. Saturday Hanumanji. You're starving to death for what? No, people takes, you know, it is take to the extreme. Theek hai, ek din nahi khaya. Why nahi khaya? Because, you know, when I am hungry, I feel the hunger. When I am hungry, everybody feels the hunger when they are hungry. So it is a reminder to me that I have remained hungry because I want to utilize this time in self-reflection. Okay, I accept it. Nothing wrong with that. There is no problem there. But every day, and then every day you are remaining hungry, but what you do? Oh, no, I don't know anything. I go for movie, you know. Why are you hungry then? In fact, the very first upasana, the second upasana that will be given by the teacher here is that look at the lakshyartha. Look at the essence. Don't look at the vachyartha. Because vachyartha will lead you to the impermanent results and improper understanding. So therefore, we must learn to see the essential truth in what is being mentioned. So the upasana also. Nowadays it is so easy for all of us. Kya kya? No. Yagna. Really? Did you chant anything? No, I didn't chant anything. I don't know Sanskrit. What do you mean? I can't chant. Okay, so who chanted? Pujari chanted. So what did you do? I just put some aksat and all that. Whenever he asked me to put it, I put it. Where did you put it? I don't know, some fire was there. You think that is we'll get any result or benefit out? What was the purpose of this? The purpose was that the fire is a symbolic fire of purity. that everything that is put into the fire becomes pure. Therefore, that is Sukram. So it is actually representing Brahman. Okay. Then what? Then whatever the objects of my enjoyments are there, including rice, which I eat, so that I don't feel hungry. All the objects of my enchantment, I'm sacrificing it into the Brahman. Why? With this attitude that Brahman alone it is there. This also is Brahman. I am also Brahman. The Agni is also Brahman. The rituals are also Brahman. The puja is also Brahman. Everything is Brahman. I am merging all into one. Therefore, when I am doing it, I must feel this oneness with the whole universe. That is the attitude. And what did you do? No, nobody was watching me, but I had this. Listening to music while I'm doing this takes so long, you know. My wife wanted to do it, so I did it. How can you get benefit? Think about it. So these rituals have become stupidity, actually. Total stupidity. And then we come out and then say, Pujari, you know, last month he was asking for $51. My friend Anil only did it for $51. He's asking $101. I mean, he knows because Anil gives him $11 every time he comes visit. You only give him only $101 once a year. You understand? It is not Pujari's fault. Pujari, I don't know here. I'm not talking about it. Real Pujaris are supposed to survive on the dana dakshina that a yajman gives. That is the whole point. He is not actually supposed to ask. We are supposed to give him or her according to our capacity and according to our desire. But supposing nobody gives unless you ask, then he has to ask. You think from his standpoint. Then you are, अरे पुराने जमाने में तो इंडिया में मैं जाता तो मैं खुद देता था तो खुद दे रहा मेरा बाप देता था तुम नहीं देता था यू अंडरस्टैंड यू नेवर गिव दैट्स व्हाई ही हैज टू आस्क थिंक अबाउट इट सो ऑल द डिग्रेडेशन ऑफ एवरीथिंग दैट ब्रॉट अबाउट बाय अस ओनली एनीवे सो दैट क्वेश्चन विल कम दैट व्हाट हैपेंस इफ आई डोंट रियलाइज इन दिस लाइफ. And then, why this life? Why can't I realize the next life? Those are the two questions. So they will be answered in mantra number 4 and 5 that we'll see tomorrow. Let's for 1 or 2 minutes, let's forget about everything else. Let's get absorbed into total peace. And then we'll do the Santi part. So relax your body, empty your mind. Make everything light, body and mind, as much as you can. Take a deep breath. sahanabhavatu, sahanobhunaktu, sahaviryam karvavahai, tejasvinavaditamastu mavitvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Harihi Om Sri Gurupyo Namaha. Harihi Om.